How's everyone? Good. Let me get set up just for a second, if you don't mind. I haven't quite got the gift of memorization yet, so is that all right? Have a few notes. All right. So I'm sorry.
Not perfect.
Well, good. Your pastor said you were perfect, but you know, is that not? Oh, so the funniness. Yeah, so excited to be here this morning with you guys. I want to honor you for coming, like you said. And the weather's not the best, and your pastor's gone. And if you saw that on Facebook, that he's eating beignets and having a good time, you would be jealous just as I. And for that, I would boycott, just because the beignets don't last very long, and you're not able to have him bring you some. So I'd have boycotted, but you didn't. So thank you so much for coming. I honor Pastor Timbo and Robin this morning. They've actually, we met maybe, I don't know, 6, 8, 9, 10 months ago. And we had the opportunity to come together and just talk. And very coincidentally, so we went and we came to a service just to see what kind of churches were in Copper's Cove area. And so we just wanted to slip in, slip out, not cause a commotion. Everybody was so friendly. It was near impossible to do that. And so we went around, or we were able to leave and not really say anything about what we were doing. And it's kind of hard when I bring 7, 8 people deep, you know, to not be noticed. But so we drove around Copper's Cove for a little bit, and we decided to head home. And we were going to have, I don't know, something at home, beans or something like that. And so my father-in-law was like, hey, why don't we just stop at Rose's and eat lunch? And I'm like, hey, I love Rose's, let's stop. And next thing you know, trying to be incognito and not know anybody, and all of a sudden the whole church walks up, and I'm just like, well, I guess we're going to be friends. Hey, Pastor Timbo, I'm Pastor Joe. How are you, buddy? And so we've been having lots of lunches and lots of good time together. And then he called me a couple weeks ago and asked me to be here. And so I'm so thankful, and it's a privilege and honor to be here with you guys this morning. So let's go ahead and open in prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to be here today. I thank you, God, for your presence that's already here. God, this is a sent word, and I know that there are people here today that need to hear it. I know that your presence is strong today, and I pray, God, that your anointing would be upon me and that your words would come out, and I pray that you would hide me behind your cross and that people would see Jesus today. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said? Amen. 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 Well, just so you know, you look like nothing to me, so I'm so excited. As many of you know, they told me it was going to happen, and sure enough, it happened. So I know you're there. I hear you. I'm so excited for that, and let's get going. So a little bit about me. My name is Joe Bernier, Pastor Joe. My wife, let's go ahead and put my picture up. So I'm huge. Yeah, look at me. So the Lord is blessed, right? Lord is blessed. He's made me 75 foot tall. You know, so if you ever wondered what the land of the giants looked like, this is exactly what it looked like. So that's me right there in the middle. My wife, Angela, she's here today. Thank you, wife, for coming and supporting me. Hey. Then I have my two outside daughters. They're twins. No, just kidding. This one on this side is Lacey. She's 18. This is Brooklyn. She's 14. They hate when we call them twins, but, you know, that's what dads do. And this is our little bundle of joy and spunk. She's 4 years old, and her name is Sparrow. So thank you for inviting our family here, and I just want to introduce you guys a little bit. I am a church planter. I'm from Killeen. I was born in the Temple Hospital. I've been here all 39 years of my life that I wasn't in school learning. So this is my home. This is my heart. And so when God called us to plant a church, we looked at places locally because this is where our heart is. And so God pointed us in Copper's Cove area. My wife and I have been in ministry together for over 20 years, which means we've been married for over 20 years. And so excited about that. From Killeen, my wife's from Las Cruces. Anybody from the great state of New Mexico? Oh, yes, my father-in-law. See, I got to eat afterwards, so, you know, life is good, right? So our goal and our mission in life is to love God and to love people and love them in a way that they connect to God and they connect to their purpose. And so that's what we are here for here on this earth, and so we're excited. As you saw here on the video, our topic of discussion today is the peace of God. I know y'all been in a sermon series about love, joy, hope, and peace, I believe. And so today we're talking about peace, and we're going to jump right in. In a second, I'll have you turn in your Bible. But Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So the title of my message today is going to be, "Who Wants Some Peace and How to Get It?" Is that anybody today? Could y'all use a little peace? Yes, all right. Little peace here, little peace there. You know, everything is in turmoil, tumultuous. Not to mention that Star Wars is going on next door to us, and y'all came to church. So thank you all for that. You know, I know that's a stressful decision. Church, Star Wars, but you did it anyway. So thank you so much. So think about this this perspective. So Christmas has always been under attack. Ever since the very first one, when King Herod tried to kill baby Jesus, it's just kind of been downhill from there, wouldn't you say? All the stress and the commercialism and the everything that comes along with it. And a lot of times we forget to pause and to take a second to really remember what Christmas is all about. So if you would, turn in your Bibles. We're going to come back to this in just a second, to Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Again, we'll come back to that in just a second. So, let me ask you this. Does anybody have any younger children? Younger children? Or used to be younger children? Or have grandchildren? Had kids in general? Then you know this story will sound very familiar to you. So, there was this little boy and a little girl that were singing a Christmas carol at Christmas time at church. And the song was Silent Night. Do we know Silent Night? Yes. Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Right. So the boy and the girl were singing that song, and the boy sings. So he sings all through the song, and he goes, "Sleep in heavenly beings." And so it's like, beans? His sister nudged him and hit him with her elbow, like good old sisters do. And she said, "No, it's not beans. It's peas. It's peas." And so many of us today, we tend to relate more to the beans and the peas than the peace. Amen? Anybody agree with that? So as I was researching just a little bit on what the holiday season was and what gets people depressed and what gets people to not have peace of God that passes all understanding, I came across this article by Ray Williams. It says, "Why People Get Depressed at Christmas Time." It says, "We are told that Christmas for Christians should be the happiest time of the year, an opportunity to be joyful and grateful with family, friends, and colleagues. Yet, according to the National Institute of Health, Christmas time of the year that people experience, during the Christmas time of the year, people experience a high incidence of depression. Hospitals and police forces report high incidences of suicide and attempted suicide. Psychiatrists, psychologists, and other mental health professionals report significant increase in patients complaining about depression. One North American survey reported that 45% of respondents dreaded the festive season." Isn't that terrible? This is supposed to be the best time of the year, right? Where everybody gets stuff, and we have 3,600 parties that we're supposed to go to, and we have all this supposed to be pizzazz and life that's supposed to go on, yet 45% of the respondents dreaded the season. I would say that it's because they don't have peace. And today we're going to talk about that peace. You know, this is quite, I don't know if it's coincidental. It is what it is. Let's put it that way. I woke up this morning to kind of confirm this. I woke up this morning and a friend of mine, since I was a childhood, Found out on Facebook. It's not confirmed. You know how Facebook goes. It's very cryptic. But he passed away yesterday, and it looks like it was from this depression type situation. And so, you know, this is a very real thing for me this morning, and I want to convey that from that point of view that you know. Peace, if he would have had peace in his heart, peace in his life from God, maybe we wouldn't have had this situation that we had to read about this morning on Facebook. So I've tried to compile a list of potential things that have happened throughout the year which may contribute to increase the stress in our lives over the holiday season. You ready?
Yep.
Ready? Okay. Buying a tree. Is it a real tree? Is it a fake tree? Is it a tree with lice? Is it a tree that's white? Is it a blue tree? You know, all the different things that go along with buying a tree is stressful. Putting up the decorations is stressful. Untangling the strands of lights. Christmas lights that won't work. Shopping for gifts. Weeding through the crowded store. Sending out Christmas cards. Getting the necessary holiday getting to the holiday parties. All the stores that are out of that one gift that you're looking for. Having enough money to buy gifts. Paying off the credit cards. Wrapping the gifts. I love giving gifts. I hate wrapping gifts. So my children are our designated gift wrappers. So forgetting someone who you were supposed to have bought a gift for. Anybody have that happen? It happens to me every year for the same exact person every year. You would think that I would have gotten that by now, but I don't. Cooking a meal, cleaning the house to host parties, making enough cookies and breads to give away, gaining weight. No, y'all don't gain weight. No, not that one. Having the right clothes for social occasions. That for me is tough. You know, you got to have a new fleek outfit every time you go out, and you got to be looking, you know, looking right. So, facing relatives you don't get along with. Oh. Yep, that's nobody here. We'll cross that one off. So knowing that you may spend Christmas alone. If you're married, figuring out when to celebrate with both sets of the parents. That's tough. Being a part of a family that celebrates separately because of divorce. You know, some of us have four different Christmases to go to, and they all want to do it at 12 o'clock, right? So missing loved ones who have passed away, Christmas programs for kids at school, knowing the year is coming to a close and you didn't accomplish what you intended to accomplish. Three frightening words, some assembly required. Oh, IKEA, seriously. Oh, they need to, yes. Three often overlooked words, batteries not included. Growing up as a kid, I never got the batteries that went with the toy. I don't understand it, but the words weren't big enough on the box, I guess. So when we compile a list like this, we understand that why, or we can't understand why Christmas is a major period of stress in people's lives. So does Jesus have anything to say about this? I think he does. So earlier I had you turn to Luke 10:38. So let's go ahead and look at that real quick. Verse 38, it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Verse 40, it says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care about my, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Very, very interesting passage of Scripture for us this morning as we look into peace and how to get it. So first off, can you believe that Martha was trying to dime out Mary? Right? Martha was going to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, Mary ain't doing squat up in here. And I'm doing all the work. All she's doing is sitting at your feet talking to you. I mean, seriously? Seriously. So, you know, that sounds familiar to me in many ways. I have three daughters, like I said. It's always somebody else's fault. Always somebody else's issue. It's never theirs, right? So back on track. Understanding why Jesus said to Martha about Mary. It's easy to see that when we enjoy, we will enjoy this season much more when we simply focus on what is needed. So what, point number one, I think I have 2 points. So point number one, if you're keeping score, only one thing is needed. So in the holiday season, one thing is needed. A lot of other things are nice, but only one thing is needed. If you don't have that one thing, then you don't have anything. Verse 41, it says, only one thing is needed. The one thing that is needed is Jesus Christ. At some point, we have to draw a line and say that I'm not going to allow anything that will ultimately mean nothing keep me from experiencing what means everything. So breaking that down. So we focus a lot of times on things that don't mean anything, and we give them value. We apply immense value and time and energy and effort, when ultimately it doesn't really mean anything. We just want to be busy, right? That's a good point for you to say, right? So I like it when you talk back a little bit. You know, it makes me think that I'm not the only one in the room. All right? I'm a very social butterfly type of person, so I need some help sometimes. So, and it means, and what means everything is the presence of Jesus. So I'd rather have that presence than the presence that's under the tree. A lot of times we get backwards. We want the presence under the tree, and we don't remember that we need the presence of the one who hung on that tree. Hung on the tree. Amen? Amen. So let's think about that for a second. Imagine if we just didn't have presence no more. We just focused on Jesus at the Christmas time. That'd be nice. Our pocketbooks would thank us, right? But, you know, we still give gifts because we love people. And we want to celebrate Jesus' birthday by giving somebody else a gift, right? So, that was a funny thing right there. Thank you. So, during this time of the year, for most of us, we get distracted by many things that are around. Like I said, the parties, the gift givings, the all the things that go along with our Christmas season, making sure that our outfits are just right. So that's what the strategy of the enemy is for us during this season. So if he can get us distracted on all the good things that we think and not on that one main thing, the best thing, then he's done his job, because a lot of times we rationalize in our mind that I'm doing this good, I'm doing this good, I'm doing this good, I'm doing this good, but I'm not doing this main thing. Does that make sense? And so if we can make sure we focus on that main thing, on the presence of Jesus, on the peace of God that passes all understanding, if we can focus on that, then we can add these other things unto you, like the Bible says, right? Seek him first and the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Very good. So Martha did more things right than she did wrong. She was distracted by all the preparations. Think about that person. You go to their house, and the whole time you're there visiting, having fun, they're cleaning, cooking, doing dishes, they're doing all these things, but they're never in with the people, right? You've been to those parties, and you're like, hey, yo, I came to see you, and I think you were there. I never made it to the kitchen, but I heard you were there. You know, I'll see the pictures later to make sure that you were there. So think about it. Martha did all the things right. She just forgot when Jesus himself walked into the room. She just forgot to say, oh, yeah, that doesn't matter. I'm going to go and be with Jesus, which is the whole reason why she prepared. See, we prepare, and then we forget what the reason for the season is. Think about it. If Martha hadn't done all the preparations and Jesus came, then Mary wouldn't have been able to sit at his feet. So there's good in preparing. It's not don't prepare. It's just prepare and then be in the moment, right? Be in the moment. And yet in the midst of all Martha's doing is Mary, who is praised for sitting in his presence. So this passage basically boils down to the value of Jesus' presence in our life. What a precious gift. So my question for you today is, are you reaching for the presence of God? Are you reaching for that? What are you doing? What are you doing? Ask yourself, you know, draw a box around yourself, jump in it, close the top, and ask yourself, what are you doing to be in the presence of God? So we want peace, but we don't want to do what it takes to get it. You know, how do you have a relationship with someone if you don't if you're not in their presence, right? If how do you have a wife and tell her you love her if you never see her, if you never talk to her? Does that make sense? Are we tracking this morning?
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. So, where are we at here? So, number two, I told you I had 2 points. Choose what is better. So, Mary has chosen what was better. She chose not to help her sister, to take that breath from her sister, but she was going to be in the presence of Jesus. Imagine being able to talk one-on-one to Jesus right there. Well, guess what? You can. You can talk to Jesus one-on-one. You can close your eyes, go in your room, spend some time with the Lord. You can choose what controls you. Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus instead of helping Martha. Mary focused on the eternal while Martha was busy working on the external. She understood that what was most valuable at that moment. Her number one priority was not to be up and about doing busy work, which is where we find our value, right? We find our value in doing busy work. And, you know, if I can make the cookies and I can do this and I can do this, I can do this, then they're going to love me more because I did all this stuff, right? Right? We're hitting home now. I see. We're hitting home now. Man, now I'm meddling. I don't get to come back. Yeah, so during the season, we struggle with pressures just like Martha. When you agree? Come on, somebody, admit that we struggle. Yes? Are we all? We're all human. We all struggle. We all have issues. You know, what gifts do they expect? What kind of food do they expect to come over my house? Is my party better this year than it was last year? You know, do I have to have Santa Claus himself come in with Rudolph, land on the front porch, and greet everybody, and then, you know, do I have to do that this year? The next year, I have to have even bigger stuff come my way. So we allow our lives to be controlled by the expectations of others. Years ago, it was an interesting sign that was seen hanging on the store. And it said, "Let's make this the best Christmas ever." That sounded good. You know, let's make it the best Christmas ever. And so underneath, somebody had scratched that out and put, "How will we top the first one? How will we top the first one?" So if we can't top the first one, how about we honor that first one? Give it the respect it deserves. Be in the presence of Jesus. You know, he was born, put on this earth 33 years to die on a cross for our sins so that we can have peace here on earth. Peace here on earth. Can you imagine? That's horrible death. He had to do it, and he did it just for us. Remember, we choose what controls us. Maybe we have to take a step back this year and make some tough decisions about what our holidays are going to look like. You know, maybe I can't go to every party. Maybe I don't have to have 36 types of cookies. Maybe I don't have to have, you know, the extra, 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 extra. Maybe we can just be happy with being in each other's company. Maybe we can be happy with a few cookies. Yeah? Amen. Amen. I'm preaching good, in case you didn't know. No, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm not telling you not to buy your wife gifts. I'm not telling you not to buy your kids gifts. Well, unless they want a lump of coal, you know, in their stocking because they were not listening all year. No, I'm kidding. So you don't have to be controlled by what we're told to control us. The chaos and negativity, the busyness of Martha's world was immense. But Mary still carved out that time to be with Jesus. You can choose serenity, peace, the better thing, taking the time to acknowledge his presence. Choose today to prioritize the presence of Christ, because this is where we get our peace. So just a quick story about my wife and I and our journey to plant a church. One of the things we're doing is we want to be amongst the people here in the Copper's Cove area. So we live in Harker Heights, and we want to kind of be closer so that we can entertain and have people over our home and do those kinds of things. And so we put our house on the market. We love our house, and we're so thankful God has given it to us. We renovated it, did all this stuff, and we put it on the market back in January, I believe. Well, that house is still on the market. How many know that you can lose your peace if your house won't sell and it's empty and you're living with your in-laws? Thank you, in-laws. Thank you, thank you. How many knows the peace that passes all understanding has to be with you? But what I can say is that God's peace, when you know that you're doing the right thing, when you're in the presence of Jesus Christ, when you're in an alignment with God's will and God's word, that peace that passes all understanding will be with you. And we're able to not let it get us down, not let it destroy us. Sure, we have our tough times where we wish it would just sell. God, would you just sell our house? But, you know, he's got a reason and he's got a purpose, and we have peace, and we put our trust in that this morning. So we fix our eyes on Jesus because of what he has already done for us. That gives us the confidence. Has Jesus, has God done anything for you already? Yes? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, you have done stuff for us. Thank you so much. And so because he has done that already, we know that God is for us. We know that if he's done it before, he can do it again. Amen. And so we're excited for that. We can trust his peace because he has come through for us on our behalf many, many, many times. He's never let us down. So this morning, just repeat this. Get this in your spirit. So I'm letting go. I'm letting go of what's expected. And I'm embracing your presence. All right, you got to get that down in your knower. So I'm letting go of what's expected. And I'm embracing your presence. Your presence, Lord. Yes. So I'm going to read a few scriptures that backs up what we're talking about today. It says in Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Isaiah 26, it says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Isaiah 26, it says, "Lord, you will grant us peace. All we have accomplished is really from you." John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you that..." Let me come back over here. Star Wars is coming. There we go. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you will have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." 2 Thessalonians 3, it says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." Romans 15:13, it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace, believing that you may be abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." Philippians 4 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Amen. That's what we need today. We need not our peace. Our peace is terrible. We don't know how to do that, right? We're not very good. We mess pretty much everything up. But the peace of God that passes all understanding is what we need this morning. Isaiah 53 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." And so that's what I was saying this morning. So he died on a cross for our sins, and he died so that we could have peace. And let's not take that lightly. Let's live in that peace. Let's offer that peace to others this morning. So Pastor Joe, so what? What does it matter that I discover my peace? Who cares? Let me ask you this. Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be fulfilled in life? Do you want to live a life that you were intended to live? Or do you want to stay in the season that you are in? Of fear, regret, doubt, envy, strife. Like my friend, you know, not having peace is tough. It's tough. So now what? First, we commit to God, because our help, our peace comes from him, right? It comes from him. So if he's the Prince of Peace, then we can't find peace anywhere else. So we have to first go to God. We have to have that relationship with him. If we don't have a personal relationship this morning, guess what? Get one. So simple. I know, you know, we like to make things hard, like, oh my goodness, I've got to, you know, snap three times and jump four times, and I've got to say blessed hope, and I got to do all this stuff for God to love me. I'm coming over here. For God to smile at us and forgive us of our sins. But that's not what the Bible says, right? It says that that He is for us, and that He sent His Son to die on a cross for us, that we might be saved, that we have to ask, believe, and confess that He is Lord, and we'll be saved. So ask God into our hearts. Start building that relationship with Him. Again, like your wife, like your friends, your family members. If you never talk to them, what's your relationship look like? Nothing. You don't have a relationship if you don't talk to somebody, if you don't spend time with them. Zero relationship, right? Think of those people that you used to be friends with. You still friends? I don't know. Not really. Maybe. Who knows? You know, but the same thing with God. Have a relationship with Him. Spend time reading your word. Spend time praying with Him. Spend time reflecting on the good things that He's done in your life. Think of the things that He's brought you through. Maybe you've been through divorce. Maybe you've been through financial ruin. Maybe you've been through death of a loved one. But guess what? You've been through them, and God was there with you the whole time. So you see, in our society, we want everything to be instant. We know that God is instant, right? Yeah. Trick question. So God is instant in that when we ask Him into our heart, He comes in. Instant, right? So He's an instant God. Just nothing else is He instant about, but that right there, He is instant. But it takes that building of relationship with Him. So in conclusion here, Jesus suffered on a cross for our peace. He took our punishment that He didn't deserve, as if He were guilty, that we could have a peace-filled lifestyle. So shame on us if we don't live in peace. He gave the ultimate sacrifice on the cross so that we could have peace and know and have salvation, that one day we get to be with Him. We must give Him our cares in exchange. He will give us His peace. And we really don't have anything to offer Him for that peace, do we? Just struggle, just strife, just envy, just tough. But we offer it to Him, and He takes it, and He gives us something way better. I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense to me. You know, it doesn't. So, but He does. That's how much He loves us. We must rely on His strengths, mercies, and favor, and not on our own abilities. So this morning, as we prepare to kind of shut this thing down, we have a few more minutes left. You guys can go ahead and hit that track. I'm going to ask that you just kind of close your eyes for a second and just kind of block out all the distractions, block out all the things that you brought with you. You know, and so this is just going to be a time of refreshing, of going before the Lord, and spending a little bit of time with Him. Taking a deep breath. You know, this isn't meditation of any sort. This is just taking a second to breathe in God's goodness, God's love for you. Father, I thank You so much for Your presence that's here today. I thank You, God, that we can find our peace in You. We can find our hope in You, God, our joy in You, our everything in You this morning, God. God, we trust in You this morning. God, You said You give us peace that passes all understanding. That means, God, that we don't understand how much You love us, but You love us so much that You give us peace and rest in every season, not just this season. But God, as we close our eyes and we focus on You for a few moments. We focus on what You have done for us, where You've brought us from. God, we lay down this stress. We lay down the things that are keeping us in turmoil. We ask that Your presence would fill our hearts, fill our minds, fill our jobs, fill our families, fill our homes, God. Fill our finances, Lord. Let the peace that passes all understanding be upon those things, Lord. Be upon our finances, Lord. Many of us are struggling financially, Lord God, but You can still bring peace. You can still give us hope. You can still give us a future, God. And we rely on that this morning. We rely on that this morning, God. We trust in you. You are our hope, our shield. You are our champion, God. And we love you so much. As your eyes are still closed and your head are still bowed, maybe there's somebody here this morning that, you know, when I talked about how do you have peace, I said first you have to have a relationship with God. Maybe you're here today and you don't have that relationship with God. Maybe you've had it before and now you've walked away, or you just have reasons why you're not current with God. I'm just going to ask that if it's for the first time and you want to create that relationship with God, start today, that you would raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you or have anything weird happen. I just want to see if there's anybody in the room that needs prayer this morning. If that's you this morning and you were to give your life to the Lord, if you want to have that peace that we're talking about this morning, just raise your hand. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been with Christ and you need to come back and you need to rededicate in this season and have that peace that we've been talking about. If that's you this morning, you raise your hand as well. Amen. Father, I thank you. Maybe you just need that peace that we're talking about. You have relationship with God, but you just need that peace. Maybe that's you this morning. If that's so, you raise your hand. We're going to ask God to bless those and to give us that peace. Y'all can repeat after me. About halfway through, I'm just going to pray for you, and then they'll take back over. And so go ahead and repeat after me, and then it'll be very apparent where you don't have to repeat anymore. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this word. Thank you for dying on a cross for me and raising to life the third day. I ask you into my heart, fresh and anew. We believe today that you did die on that cross just for me. I confess you as Lord and Savior of my life. I pray that your Spirit would help me to live for you the rest of my days. Now, Father, I thank you so much for your presence that's here. God, I thank you for the peace of God. I thank you for your specific word this morning. Let it pierce, God, exactly where it needs to go. Lord, let it land on soft ground, Lord God, that can be watered and can have growth take place. Lord, we love you. Let us be a light into this community. And a light for you, Jesus. We give you praise and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise this morning. We're so thankful to be with you guys, and y'all have a very Merry Christmas.